Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to episode 189. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. And this is our fourth annual Halloween special. How are you guys doing tonight?
It's like, hello, creepy, my old friend. That's what came to my mind. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Nate? Doing fantastic.
Yes, we are fantastic. Can you believe that? Fourth annual Halloween special.
Are you glad we didn't do it on Facebook like we did the first time?
That's right.
Remember Facebook dead?
Yeah.
That was good.
People are like, where are you at? We're trying to get
up. I know.
I don't know.
I was Captain America. That's all I remember.
Oh, wow. good memories. Wait a minute. Are they good memories?
I don't know.
Ah, that was fun, though.
I went to therapy for them, but.
Yeah, it worked. We tried it. We did it and realized it's not the easiest thing to do. But, hey, that's okay. But we did make it to our fourth annual Halloween special episode.
We have.
So I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. If you can't tell. You guys having a good week?
I can't tell.
Doing all right?
I'm great.
Good? Great?
Great.
Yeah. Good. You're going good.
Yeah. So weather's been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
This whole month
there's
has
a
been
thing.
Perfect. Like, you know, low to mid-70s. Maybe a couple high, sunny, dry, maybe had a little rain maybe a few weeks ago. Now watch, when Halloween's here, it's going to be 20 degrees.
You got it.
Windy, you know, pouring down rain. It'll be time.
I thought you were going to say, watch, the apocalypse is right around the corner.
No.
Don't say that.
No,
that's
no,
not
that's not what
fun.
I'm saying.
That's
I'm saying
fun.
Halloween's going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably right.
Man, my mom and I were talking two or three years, my mother-in-law would bring her little radio flyer, mm-hmm. the Red Wagon, and when the little kid, you know, when our kids were little and they could fit in there together, and man, they'd have their costumes on, but they'd have winter coats on, hats,
uh-huh.
gloves.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
We're just freezing. We're just trying to make it. One more house, we can do it. Okay, let's one more house, we can do it. And my mom, she held in there long enough. She's like, I'm going to go home. So,
right?
Yeah.
Smart lady.
She's like, I'll warm up and I'll pass out candy. Oh, hopefully it is, though. Hopefully it's a nice, I mean, this whole month has been great here in, central Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, hey, Sean.
Yes?
We have a sponsor.
We most certainly do. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil, it nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood, and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Look at that.
Nailed it again.
Nailed it again. Mm. I am on a hot streak.
Professional.
I don't like to brag. That's not my nature.
No, yes, you do.
That's not my nature.
You do.
But when you got it, you got it. Oh, but yeah, thank you for your sponsorship. We do appreciate that. And good job, Sean, as always on that. Man, you've been nailing it lately.
Oh. Just again,
first time, every time.
Professional.
It's almost like they're recorded.
Yeah, that's weird.
First, give all my secrets away.
First time, every time. Hey, guess what, though?
What?
Looking at the show flow notes, it is dad joke of the show time. How about that? Todd's dad joke of the show.
Nice.
Got a few of them here.
Okay. Oh,
and I chose all ghost jokes. So here, I'm already laughing. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So where does a ghost go for vacation? Where does a ghost go for vacation? Sean and Nate, let me answer that for you. Malibu. Malibu.
I was making it way too hard.
Yes, yes.
Boo.
Yes. why do demons and ghouls hang out together? Why do demons and ghouls hang out together? You know why, Nate?
No, I do not.
Because demons are a ghoul's best friend.
Oh!
Oh! Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
Yes, yes, yes. And my third and last one, I know. I know you're upset already. But I thought I'd give a trifecta. Why did the ghost starch his sheet? Why did the ghost starch his sheet? He wanted everyone scared stiff.
Oh, stiffless.
Okay. Hey-o. And that's Todd's dad jokes of the show. And you are welcome as always.
Three is the magic number, right?
Three is my favorite number. Mm-hmm. How about that?
There you go.
A little bonus. A little extra bonus. Extra, extra bonus. How about that? Nate, are you okay over there?
I'm good.
Don't know. He
lost an arm.
Fighting stuff.
Oh, shoot. Well, anyway, moving on from those excellent jokes. Sean.
Yes.
Yeah, first announcements.
I do. Thank you. We come together every Wednesday, and this is a special Wednesday since we're doing our Halloween special, right? Our fourth annual. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing we do is to come together and continue to create a mental health community. So we want you guys to get help out there. We know, you know, if you're not needing help, somebody else out there that you know or related to, friend, family, whatever,
yep.
Is going to need some help. So we give out the numbers every time. So call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you may be experiencing.
Amen to that, brother. Yeah, we want our creepies healthy.
I think I forgot to say no, but yeah. Someone you know may be experiencing.
That's all right. That's all right.
I stumble fumble a little bit there.
It's okay. But yes, please call these numbers or text them if you need to. And if you know somebody that needs to reach out for professional help, make sure you give them these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Other than that, that's all we have on that. Thank you, Sean.
No problem.
We have one special announcement. We will be hosting a tour of the local Haunted Hannah House on the southeast side of Indy. It'll be Saturday, November 16th. Now, the tour begins at 5 o'clock. I think, Sean, you said we need to arrive about 15 minutes before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said that was fine.
Yeah, so about 4:45, arrive, and then tour time, 5 o'clock. The cost is $15 per person, and it is exact cash only. They do not make change. So have your $15 cash ready for the Hannah House tour November 16th on a Saturday. How about that?
Oh, that'd be awesome. She said we can congregate there in the little kitchen and wait for everybody that's coming. And once everybody's there, then we can start the tour.
Can we make food in the kitchen?
We can absolutely make food. Or the ghost can make food.
Oh.
Hmm.
That'd be even better. How about that?
That'd be delightful.
Anyway, we're looking forward to that. And we've had some good response already. So there's actually when I was at the Greenwood Happy Haunts, we had a few people say that they're interested in going. So, and then let's see. I think
Tony A. Tony's coming.
Yep, Tony A. And then yeah, we'll be there. How about that?
I'm trying. Some of my kids might want to go.
Are they going to go?
Yeah, Harrison, and then maybe Brooklyn might come.
Oh, too, and you said there is no age limit.
Let me mention that. Yep, it's
no,
good to know.
No age limit. Yep. So. Anyway, that's all we got on the special announcements. Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about for this episode?
We just had a fun, creepy, and outstanding guest chat with special guest, the podfather of paranormal podcasting, Jim Harold. So please check out our show notes for the source links on how to follow Jim. Enjoy, creepies.
Hey, creepies. We have a very special guest. He was on, maybe a year or two ago. This is the second time he's on here. We have Mr. Jim Harold. Now, he is the host of the Paranormal Podcast and Jim Harold's Campfire. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me back on the show. I appreciate it. And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. I'll let Sean and Nate say hi to you.
Hi, Jim.
Look, hello. Happy Halloween.
Hello, hello.
So the spooky season is here. Have you had any, any spookiness on your end? And you're in the state of Ohio, so.
Yeah, I can't think of any spookiness off the top of my head. The thing is that, and you guys probably feel this way too, it's like, for normal people, this is a different kind of season because you focus on the spooky and everything. And then, you know, November 1st, everybody's getting out the Christmas decorations, it seems like now. But the thing is, for me, it's always spooky because I'm in the spooky studio. Yeah. I mean, every week I'm recording Campfire with spooky stories. So it's just kind of like, you know, kind of the average day for me. I kind of make a joke of it because I always post, and I'll probably do it this year. I have a picture of me dressed up as Pennywise from one of our Halloween parties. And I say, my pledge, it's always Halloween at the Spooky Studio. You know, and that's the thing, is that it's just more of the same, but it's the good same. It's the spooky stuff, which we all love. And it's nice to see the rest of the world maybe ride with us for about a month and enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've here at the Mako Studio, we think that Halloween should be 12 months. Pretty much,
but yeah,
we do our best to make it 12 months, right?
It at least needs to be a federal holiday. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, a federal holiday.
Jim,
I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. I mean,
yeah, it is.
When I was growing up in 1912, but you know, it wasn't. It was a big deal, but it was like a kid's thing and things. But I think, you know, in the last, even the last 10 years, I just think Halloween's grown exponentially in terms of just people getting into the Halloween spirit and dressing up and grown-ups. You know, it used to be a kid's holiday primarily. I mean, it has changed so much and it's grown so much, and I think it's just going to get bigger.
Yeah, I agree.
Everywhere you drive, you see 12-foot skeletons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're everywhere this year, right?
My mom, Jim, she's 79 and she dresses up. Yeah. She dresses up her house. She has tons of Halloween decor in her house, and you know, younger people think that's cool. The 79-year-old lady likes to, you know, decorate her condo in wall-to-wall Halloween. I'm like, yep, that's my mom. So, and she does it for Christmas too. But
and I think, and I love, I'm a big fan of Christmas and decorating and all that good stuff. But I think it gives us one of the few chances we get a year to be kids again.
Yeah,
and I think agree. That's private. Plus, we, you know, the popularity of all the horror movies and the paranormal TV shows and so forth. It all plays into it. It all works into it hand in hand. But I love it. I'm in northeastern Ohio here, and real close we have the big amusement park, Cedar Point. Mm-hmm. And every year, myself and my daughters, my wife won't go because it freaks her out, but we go, and they have something called Hollow Weekends. And the whole place is decked. It's amazing. The whole place is decked out. They have basically staff that's dressed up like different characters, and they have scare zones where people will scare you. I think they have 9 haunted houses.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, if anybody's in this region and it's drivable for them, I highly recommend it. I don't know what the dates are when they cut it off, but it's really a neat event every year. I absolutely love it.
Nice.
Yeah, my family, we've done the Kings Island one.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Similar idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. Sean, you're going to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, well, we were talking about decorating for Christmas right after Halloween ends. My wife and I were driving, and I thought somebody died or something, because she was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I was like, what was wrong? She looked over at a house, and it was already decorated for Christmas. And she's like,
the one on the roundabout?
Yes. Yeah. She's on the way here. She goes,
red and white lights.
That's just wrong. But they have somebody pay to do their lights.
Yeah. Right.
And they did it last year. And and she's like, it's probably just convenience, but that's just sacrilegious. And
it I'm is.
Like,
even
for her, I mean, I walked into Costco, I think it was 3 weeks ago. 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's like, they're the Christmas trees. And again, I love that time of the year, but it's a little soon. Come on.
Yeah, we're down in Florida for spring break, and we have to get another umbrella for the beach. And walked in there and was like, oh, well, let's go look in the outdoor area. Maybe they're in the outdoor area. Go in there. It's nothing but Santas and snowmen.
Oh, my Lord. Like,
bit early, Florida. Bit early.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, we had real quick, and we'll get started. We saw, my mom and I saw a, she goes, oh, look at the big skeleton. And then next to it was a zombie Santa Claus. I said, okay, at least At least it's a zombie. At least it's got some type of Halloween.
Yeah. There. Yeah. It's kind of straddling both. That's pretty kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, Jim, thanks again for coming on. We are excited to talk to you. And this is our Halloween special, our fourth annual Halloween. So we can't believe we've made it 4 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So we want to get started. So you have your podcast. You know, you have multiple podcasts, and they're excellent, by the way.
Thank you.
Do you have some certain like Halloween stories from certain episodes or some Halloween stories even from your childhood? Like what is Halloween meant to you since you were a kid? Let's start out.
Well, I gotta say, I remember, and we might have had this discussion before, but you know, I come from the era when we had some of the worst Halloween costumes ever. And I am deeply resentful that we had to grow up with those, because I don't know about you guys, but you would go in a store and you buy this little box, right? You know, probably something like a Kmart at the time or something. You buy this little box and it would have like this little jumpsuit you would put on with a little tile in the back and that plastic mask you would put on. You couldn't see out of it. You couldn't breathe out of it. It had like a rubber band elastic on the back of it that always broke. And then here's what always made me mad. I was like a six-year-old kid, and I could see this ridiculousness of the costumes. You would buy a Superman costume, right? Now, usually you would think a Superman costume. You'd have the Clark Kent face, you know, and then you'd have a Superman outfit that would have an S on the front. No! They would say Superman and have a picture of Superman flying. And I'm like, well, now wait a minute. Does Superman wear his suit? Does he have a version of his suit that says Superman and a picture of himself flying?
Right.
Well, if he doesn't, then I don't want that. I want the real Superman suit. So I feel like I've been, you know, I'm deeply resentful to later generations that they got better costumes and that we in the 70s and 80s had to grow up with these abominations. That's some deep-seated resentment that I've had that I've carried over the years. But really, I mean, when you talk about Halloween stories, I mean, like I said before, we have them all year long. Now, here's one that is in my latest book, True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire, Volume 6. And this is kind of as creepy as I think one of the creepiest stories I've ever heard. So would you like me to read it to you?
Yes, sir.
Love that.
All right. This is called I Curse You. Now, this story was John from Idaho. And John says, I've kept this story to myself for many years, primarily for fear of ridicule. I probably wouldn't believe it had I not been there myself. My father ran a painting business in the late 70s and early 80s, employing several people. One of the men wasn't working out, and my dad decided that he needed to let him go. I don't remember why I was home that particular day, but I witnessed the entire incident. I was about 10 years old. This man came to our house on the day in question, as all the men did every morning before going out to perform their various assignments. My dad pulled this worker aside and said, I'm going to have to let you go. This just isn't working out. This fellow became very upset and said, you can't fire me. And my dad replied, well, why couldn't I do that? The man said, because I'm Jesus Christ. What do you say to that? And my dad said, well, you're not Jesus Christ. You are fired and you need to leave. Well, this man was very obviously upset. And he looked at all of us and he said, I curse you. I curse your family. I place this curse on you and you will have bad luck from this point onward. Now, John says you always hear about curses, but you really rarely see the real thing. We didn't think too much of it because this guy seems somewhat unhinged. John says this may or may not be the event that led to everything that followed. Still, it is framed that way in my mind because it was directly after the curse that life began to go very poorly for our family. I hate to call it bad luck, but within a year, my mother became ill with cancer and passed away. Then my dad had a couple of multi-million dollar lawsuits filed against his business. to a couple of freakish accidents. He lost his business, he got ill, and he died within a couple of years. With the context of all this going on, some extraordinary things began to happen around the house. It started to stray out of the arena of terrible luck into, in my mind, the paranormal. I recall more minor incidents. I was walking through the house and heard a knocking sound on an inside wall. Not an outside wall, but an inside wall when I was home by myself. It was a very loud, clear knocking. That sort of thing continued for some time, and we could never figure out why. I'd be up a lot in the middle of the night, and I remember looking out in our front yard and seeing someone standing underneath our willow tree at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. This was after my mom passed. My initial thought was that my eyes were playing tricks on me and that I was only seeing a shadow. But it was one strange shadow. On more than one occasion, I saw it detach itself from the tree and then move away. Life was tough. Within a few short years, my mother died, then my grandmother, and my only surviving grandparent died, and my father passed as well. The intensity continued to ratchet up until this one night, the story's climax. It was 1980. I was asleep in bed when I had a dream, which is horrible. In it, I began to see this green fog come out of the stairway. And then out of the mist, I saw my mother and grandmother emerging. But they weren't ordinary people. They were crawling along the ceiling with claws and fangs. It was just a terrible, terrible dream. I woke up with a start, very shaken but clearly cognizant that this was just a dream. At this point, I felt pressure on my chest, pushing me down into my bed and holding me there. Now, of course, I'm familiar with sleep paralysis, but I don't know how to think about it. Sometimes it's considered a purely physical phenomenon, and others believe it to be supernatural. When I experienced it, felt anything but physical. As a matter of fact, it seemed like what I believe they call the old hag syndrome. That seemed a lot more appropriate because not only was I unable to move, I felt pressure pushing me down into my bed. Then as I was fully awake, struggling against that force, I heard a name whisper very loudly and clearly next to me. It said, John. I still couldn't move. I was obviously scared to death and trying to shake this off. Finally, the pressure was released. I jumped out of my bed and quickly went towards my light switch. Underneath it, I saw something hard to describe. Words fail me, and I don't know what to call it. A creature? It stood about 3 feet tall. It was red and had a scaly body, very thick. It was about the size of a fire hydrant. At least that's what it reminded me of. Around its head, going all the way around in a circle, were small horns protruding. As I saw it, I stopped, and I'm telling the truth. It opened its mouth, and it laughed at me. I leapt to the side, turned on the light switch, and there was nothing. I was very shaken at that point, questioning my sanity. I went downstairs into the living room, and I sat down in a chair. I put my head in my hands, trying to make sense of the world. Opposite me, our TV set turned itself on. We didn't have a remote control. It was 1980. You had to physically go over to the TV and pull the knob out. I did not turn it on, and I know it. It powered on by itself. Stations didn't broadcast 24/7 back then, so there was only static on the television. I didn't know what to do. I got up, shut it off, and looked out the front window. Once again, that shadow was there, standing beside the willow tree. I don't remember what happened from there, except to say that I tucked this away as best as possible into the back of my psyche, thinking nobody would ever believe me. If you said I felt a touch, I heard a kick, that's one thing, but to claim I saw a creature that I could see and describe, that's likely to be dismissed. And that's my story. After my father died, everything seemed to turn around. It was a strange series of horrible coincidences for those few years, if that's what they were. I have my doubts. It was one tragedy after another. I wouldn't have tied it together had I not seen that man point at us, look us in the eye, and say, "I curse you." And that's John from Idaho.
Wow. Wow. I'm kind of speechless. I don't know. Yeah. That's a lot.
Dang.
What do you think, Sean, about this?
Well, number one, I have to say the way that you read that is fantastic.
Yeah, no, I hear.
Yeah, I feel like I've been your show. So.
I know.
Well, thank you.
I'm listening to the campfire. Yeah,
it also made me think of your story, Todd, about your sleep paralysis.
Oh, like, yeah,
times 100.
That one,
this one, that was scary.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody die.
It is hard. I'm a skeptical person with stuff, but I'm telling you, there are things that we don't understand and don't know why they happen. And I mean, I think curses can be real, or that negative energy that you put on somebody. It's probably not to be taken lightly, but yeah, I mean, it could be coincidental, but that sounds like a lot of coincidence.
Well, that's the thing. Death after death after death after death. And if you have a family, people are going to die, right? But a right. mom and a dad, right? Right after that happened. It's just, I mean, I take it somewhat seriously. I always wonder, you know, if people give you things and things is, you know, 99% of the people I deal with are very nice, but you wonder if somebody might sneak something in there that's cursed or something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Nate?
That's heavy.
I was like, wow.
A cheery little tale.
Yeah.
Yes. I
was going to joke and say, Nate, you got that curse ready for Jim? No, thanks.
Well, I thought that it just kept going. It just got getting worse. And I thought,
well, that the spiky character, the little minion or whatever it was. I mean, little dang. Imp.
Yeah, it gave me goosebumps. Yeah, I'm I think curses, I guess if, you know, if being a believer, a Christian of faith, if I believe in blessings, I think I should be believing in curses, you know?
I agree with that. I mean, the thing is that I believe there's good in the world and I think there's evil in the world. And I just think it's the way it is. And that's something people have asked me, you know, how has this impacted your belief in a higher power and all that? And I was like, if anything, it's enhanced it because believing in the supernatural, you know, for example, you'll talk to somebody who is maybe big into going to church or whatever, and say, you tell them about the ghosts and stuff. And I was like, I don't believe in any of that supernatural stuff. And I'm like, I don't think that means what you think it means. Right. If you go to church and you're adherent to Christianity or really any religion, you believe in the supernatural. You just might not call it that, but it's supernatural.
Exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not any harder than that. Yeah. Man, that was a heck of a story.
I heard somebody describe it as I thought this was interesting. They said, if you hear the word parachute, you think, oh yeah, that's just something that's above you that helps to protect you. So it's para. And a paramedic is somebody that is over you trying to help you when you're in a time of need, right? And they said, but when you hear paranormal, people like shrivel up and like, ooh, you know, but it's like, it's just above what we understand as normal,
right?
You know, so it's out of our realm. And I thought, you know, that's a really interesting and neat way to put it. So there's so much that we, and that's doing this podcast, Jim, like you're saying, it's you come across so many stories, and I was a lot more skeptical in nature before we started this, but we've heard so many stories out there. It's just, it's wild.
And I mean, there might be people, I mean, I think the vast majority of people calling campfire being very sincere and trying to be very real, right? I believe the vast majority of them are relaying what happened to them, honestly. I mean, sure, I'm sure there's people who call in and make stuff up. But first of all, why? What's the benefit? And second of all, I don't think it's that common. It's kind of like UFO stories. You know, yeah, some of them are military craft. Some, you know, unfortunately, there's hoaxers. There's people of goodwill who see planets and stars and think that they're, you know, little green men flying saucers. But then there's that other section that can't be explained. And sometimes those are reports by military pilots, police officers, you know, people who are credible witnesses. Not to say average people aren't, but, you know, maybe a little more credible because of their background or whatever. So the thing is that the same with these paranormal experiences, I think it's perfectly legitimate to look at them and say, well, maybe it's a leaky faucet. Maybe when the EMF meter goes off, maybe that's bad electrical. But all of it's either a lie or a misinterpretation or a fake. No, I don't believe that. I think it is these stories, at least a percentage of them, are very representative of something that is real. Now, what that is, I don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. It, regardless, it's something we can't explain. At least
exactly.
At that moment.
There's a quote that I just ran across. It's a very old quote. It's even older than I am. And But the quote was, it goes something like this: not only is the universe stranger than we imagine, it's stranger than we can imagine. And I really believe that. I mean, look at something as simple as ultraviolet light, which, you know, at one point we didn't know about ultraviolet light, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but it's there. I mean, for example, I make a joke. I have another chair over here in the spooky studio. I'm like, there could be a being literally sitting there watching me do this, and I just can't see him. And I partially say that as a joke, and I partially say that is not a joke. There might be a being or a past loved one.
Yeah.
Hi, mom. How you doing? No, yeah. But anyway, the point being that there could be beings around us that we can't see. There's so much, and some of it may be science. It might be the science of the 25th century, but there's so much we don't understand is basically the, like Sean said, the headline, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. You know, one, oh, go ahead,
Sean. Oh, no, all I was going to say was that quote is, I believe, Max Planck. And that is the guy that really, I mean, he's a scientist, a well-known physicist that was, he and Einstein didn't always see eye to eye, but when Einstein, before he passed, said, you know, he really came in line with Max Planck's views, but that's where quantum physics has come into it, because it was so, and he really focused on the paranormal tendencies of science, and like, we don't really understand it, and it just gets a lot weirder than what we can think. And I love that. Like, that's, but that's true science, is like saying, hey, we don't know, and we need to keep discovering, you know?
I just had an interview today for my Plus Club with a real psychologist who has a book coming out talking about time and how it doesn't seem to be linear. I mean, and that apparently is a scientific fact, even though we think it's very linear. And he gave one example that he gave, it's kind of like from the Matrix movies or the old Max Payne video game Bullet Time, is he remembered maybe 10, 15 years ago or something, he was in a car accident and somebody clipped his car in a motorway. He's from England, so basically one of their freeways, clipped the back of his car and the car was spinning. But in that time that he had to react and right the car, he felt very calm and he felt that time slowed down and gave him more time to react. And that sounds really kind of crazy and woo-woo, but that is something he was explaining, how time and our perception of time may be way off. I mean, this is not really spooky talk necessarily, but it is kind of spooky if you think about it. But it's just amazing how much we don't understand about something as simple as time.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of, I had graduated and I got my first full-time job. I was working at a credit union, and I was still living with my mom and dad, and it was really, really slick outside. And it had sleeted the night before and snowing at the time. And I was going on a major highway. It was US 36 here, local road. And I was in a Mustang. So that's, you know, doesn't weigh much. And it's not very, you know, we put like sandbags in the.
It's probably rear wheel drive, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, rear wheel. And so I'm going, and all of a sudden it was so bad. I did. And this is rush hour traffic. This is, you know, 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. And I spun and I literally did a 360 in the middle of the highway, and I turned around and then I was facing the right way and I just kept going. That was a time that I was like, time stood still. It's like, I just had time to go, okay, here we go. Okay, now we're straight again and let's go. I mean, I didn't hit a car didn't hit me. Nobody dodged, you know, nobody wrecked, nobody. It was just traffic just went on, did its business. And I'm like, holy moly. But you know, my heart was pounding afterwards, but in the moment it did. It seemed like time was just slowing down enough for me to gather my senses and just kind of do my 360.
Now the other explanation, another explanation for that, and I didn't come up in this interview, I wish I would have thought of it at the time, divine intervention.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, that could have been bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause if you would have spun 180 as opposed to 360, sure. Not good.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, and we're talking about, you know, you're talking about, you know, maybe we can't see something or somebody sitting next to us. You know, a lady, I work at a Christian church, and a lady, when I first started working there, she said, I still remember this, is almost 20 years later. She said, now, don't you think that, you know, if you look at a pew or a church seat that's empty, don't think it's empty. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, there's a demon sitting there. And I'm like, well, that's great. That's all I need to hear. And she's like, and I said, why do you say that? And she said, because they're sitting there whispering in your ear, hey, don't pay attention. What are you going to eat for breakfast, or what are you going to eat for lunch, when, you know, trying to distract you. And so she said, it's very important to fill up those seats and fill up those pews, because a demon, you know, they're not afraid of the building. Now, are they afraid of Jesus? Sure. But they're not afraid of the building, and they're not afraid of, you know, humans. And I'm like, well, that put a new spin on going to church service. And, but yeah, but 20 years later, I still remember that. So,
well,
never know. That's supernatural. Possible. That's supernatural.
I wouldn't say it's impossible.
Right, right. Well, that was a great story. And that was John from Idaho? Man.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, John, for all that heartache. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and it's always interesting to me because, you know, that story's probably from over 10 years ago. And I'll do these stories. I always wonder how the people are doing or how things worked out. And a lot of times you never hear from somebody again. So it's just kind of like kind of out there. But yeah, that was sad. Then we had another story. And this one is from the book, too.
Okay.
And this one freaked me out. And
we like those type of stories, by the way.
Yeah, well, this will freak you out. This is kind of along the lines of what you were talking about. This is a short one. This is Mariah from Pennsylvania. I won't give you the title because it'll kind of give it away. It's actually the first story in this book. Mariah says, I've used Ouija board since I was a child. Dum, dum, dum.
Oh, boy.
Many people frown on that, but it's always interested me. I started with my friend Molly years ago. We would play it every single night over the summer, whether it was at my house or hers. We would always be on this thing. Now, the same spirit, Gail, would come through each time. Every night we'd ask for somebody different, but it would always be Gail. At the time, it seemed innocent enough. Nothing was weird aside from the fact that we were talking to the dead. We'd heard that you were not supposed to leave the Ouija board on the floor because it was considered disrespectful to the spirits. So during this particular session, we had the board propped up on a broken, very important, broken, unplugged guitar amp. And we were talking with Gail. Not much was happening, but then the planchette stopped moving and the room got very still and spooky. The unplugged amp clicked on by itself and started making sounds like an old radio tuner does when somebody tries to dial in a station. You know, that. We were taken aback by the noise coming out of this broken, unplugged amp. And then it got worse. We suddenly heard this deep southern voice of a man who sounded like a preacher, and he said, "The devil is real." Then the amp audibly clicked off. I never ran so quickly in my tired life. We couldn't recall much about what happened next. Molly and I were almost killing each other trying to get out of that room. Some might question my judgment, but I went right back to the Ouija board. But nothing like that has ever happened since. I don't know what was coming through that night, but it was terrifying. And that's Mariah from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, wow. You had me at Ouija board.
Ouija board.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, I have like the Funko Pop thing here. I think my wife got for me on top of the just for fun. But, you know, the thing about Ouija boards for me, I don't want to get sued or anything, but my wife has one from when she was a teenager. It's in the basement in a cabinet. So we've not thrown it out or anything, but we do not use it. And the thing is that I kind of look at, you know, these guys who are so great with sculpture. They can take a chainsaw and they can make beautiful wooden sculptures. Some of them can do it in ice. Now you hand me a chainsaw and I'm more likely to apt to cut off my arm. So to me, the Ouija board might, you know, if you're really trying to contact the spirits, maybe it's like a spiritual chainsaw. If you know what you're doing, maybe it's okay. But if you don't, what are you opening the door to? What are you letting yourself be exposed to? What is claiming to be Aunt Mildred, but it's not Aunt Mildred at all? Mm-hmm. Now, also, though, I have one Ouija story. I don't remember the absolute specifics, but a woman called in, I think it was from England, and her teenage friends were playing with a Ouija board, and they were, you know, like young girls or young boys do. They were asking who likes who and who's going to get married to who and whatever. And I think the gist of it was this young girl was going out with this one boy who she thought was her life love. And they asked, he said no. And then they spelled out the name. And the name was something like John. And gave some more details, like how many kids they were going to have and so forth. Years later, she married a John, had that many kids, and all of the details just lined up. Who knows?
That's pretty wild.
Nate is our guy. You've never used one, right? Or you have and you won't use it again. I can't remember.
My high school girlfriend got one and wanted to use it. I said, heck no. Don't want nothing to do with it. Yeah. So it just sat in my closet forever.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
And I finally was like, okay, I'm throwing this away. Yeah. So it wasn't like one of the nice old looking wooden ones, right? It is like the toy plastic neon colored ones.
And I don't know the specifics, but the guy who kind of, it had kind of mysterious origins. And I believe the gentleman who and really popularized it, William Fuld, F-U-L-D, I believe that he had, I'm just looking it up now, he had a very strange death. He was a Presbyterian, became a member of the Baltimore General Assembly in 1924. On February 24th, 1927, Fuld climbed to the roof of his three-story factory to supervise the installation of a flagpole. When the rail against which he was leaning gave way, Fuld fell to the ground below. While being transported, a fractured rib pierced his heart, and William Fuld died at the hospital. So he died kind of a bizarre, like one of those freakish deaths. Now, maybe that's just a coincidence, but
maybe not. Yeah. I played with one twice, and that's it. And it's been 30 plus years since the last time I played with it. And nothing happened during that. I mean, you know, who knows? We had the first time it was four of us, and then the second time there was like five or six, and I played just for a couple of rounds the second time, and you know, we're all, oh, I didn't use it, or I didn't move it, I didn't move, oh, me either, you know, and who knows? But I don't remember anything diabolical, but coming from it. But now I'm 53 years old, I don't want to even touch the thing. So yeah,
I'm just leery of it. I'm leery of it.
But your example though of like, you doing, you know, using a chainsaw compared to another guy using a chainsaw to do artwork. Yeah, I like that's exactly about the best
way.
Great
analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I've interviewed Robert Murch, who is like the head of the Talking Board Society or something, or Karen Dahlman, who, you know, knows this thing up and down, and she has this huge collection in her video background. She's got like 20, and she's like, well, it's just a tool, you know, that kind of thing. And maybe it is for people who know what they're doing, but I also wonder if it's some kind of a portal. But it also makes me think about the power of the mind, too. What can we generate? There's a famous case that goes back, I think, to the 1970s. I really need to investigate this further and do a show on it. The Philip experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've heard of it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, there were a group of people who were interested in psychic phenomena. They gathered weekly or something up in Toronto, in the Toronto area. And they decided that they were going to create a ghost, and they created a ghost.
Yeah.
Interacted with them.
Named Philip. Yep. That's a creepy one. It's been a while since I've heard that story, but yeah, I've heard it on another podcast, and I had never heard that type of thing at all until then. I thought it could be something to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows? What were you going to say, Nate?
I've always heard with the Ouija board that if you do not know how to use it, which most people don't, once you open it, you have to know how to close it. And if you don't close it, then it leaves a doorway of sorts. And that's always terrified me too. Cause it's like, I don't know what to do with it. So I'm not touching it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just my luck. I wouldn't close it out correctly. And then I just leave it open and come and go as you please. spirits and evil ones. Yeah.
Well, I almost wonder if, you know, I think it gets also into the topic of haunted objects. I don't know what you guys think about haunted objects, but we had a guy on the show told this story, and I won't go into the whole thing, but it was out in California, and he had gone to an estate sale. Him and his wife had gotten a new apartment, and, you know, they were on a budget, so they were looking at some economical ways to furnish it. So they were looking at quite a few things, but it was a little bit pricey for them. So he gave this woman who was running the estate sale his card and said, you know, if anything's left over towards the end of the week, let me know. Because he was thinking maybe the prices would come down, whatever. So he gets a call the end of the week. It's a woman. This woman, she said, you know, I liked you and people are here. They're disrespecting me. They're trying to take stuff for nothing. Come on down. I'll give you a deal on some stuff, on that chair or whatever you want, sofa. So he goes down and he gets a deal on the items that he was looking at. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give you this mirror. This looks like it's for you. You need to have this. And it was this big, huge, like, big lead mirror with an ornate gold frame. And he brought the stuff home and he put the mirror upstairs in his bedroom. And that's when stuff started happening. They'd hear like sound like people walking around the house when there was only one person in the house. Kind of the climax of it was one day he was sleeping on the lower level, the bedroom's upstairs, but he's sleeping on the, no, I got wrong. He's sleeping in the bedroom with the mirror. And he wakes up and he sees a group of people there dressed in old time clothing and they're dancing. And he wakes up and he kind of rubs his eyes and it's like, who are these people dancing in my room? And there's one guy who comes forward who's like the leader and he looks at my caller, his name's Michael. And he said, we came with the mirror.
Oh, gosh.
We like to dance. That's where you come in.
I'm out.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, blah, 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 you know, all kinds of things I can't say. And it just like dematerialized. And he had a group come in and all kinds of things to check it out and see what was going on. And the story goes on a little bit, but the thing that got me is he did the show audio for Campfire. Very nice guy. And for a while I was doing, and I should still do it, I would bring people back and do a video version so they could tell their story on video. He came back and you know what was sitting behind him? The mirror.
Oh no!
Now, if it would have been me, it would be do not pass go, do not collect $200. That thing is going in that trash.
Break it into pieces.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. We came with the mirror.
We came with that. That gave goosebumps too. That's creepy. I'm sorry, but
I got a good one. With all the stuff we've been talking about, Jim, I have to ask you. And I have it written down here specifically. You are getting close to episode 700 for Campfire. And the reason I know that is because you got past the magical or demonic, whatever you want to call it.
666
episode. And it is fantastic. And it's spooky. And it is. I love that episode. Did you have a favorite, story on that one? Did you look at that episode and think, oh, this is going to be fun? Or
we skip it.
Yeah. it was a good episode, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which stories were on. I have to admit something. I mean, that was a compilation of like demon stories.
Yes,
the one woman, I think, had a 12-foot demon in her house. I'd be like, I'm moving to a new house. That's one that stuck out for me. There was one, I think, where a guy, I think it was a policeman, and there was kind of like a demon who looked at him and out of the car and things. That was one of my favorites. But I got to be honest, sometimes it's hard to keep track.
Oh, I know. We know
because,
that.
I do 90 minutes a week, and it's usually 9 to 10 stories every week. And once a show's over, it's like, okay, I'm on to the next one, you know, because it's nonstop. It never ends. So sometimes I'm like, people will say, well, what do you think about that show 2 months ago? And I'm kind of like, what show is that? And in fact, that's interesting when we do the books. I will go back and the books, we've done 6 books and it's only has so far gone through probably the first 5 years of the show. We probably have enough to do at least 10 more books without ever doing another show. But I'll go back and I'm like, oh, I don't remember that. That was a really good, really good story.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's a lot to keep track of. I know it has to be into, I mean, if you've got 700 episodes, obviously it's into thousands of stories now.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what we haven't even made it to 200 episodes. And so I'm thinking that's a huge number.
Well,
so,
we've done almost 200 full episodes and then we have mini episodes. So we're about, right. We're approaching 400, but that's total of the mini and the full episode.
Right.
And I can't remember what we've talked about. And
yeah. For me, I mean, I've been doing this since 2005 in one form or another. Start with the Paranormal Podcast, which is still going today.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, the longest running paranormal podcast on the internet, as far as I know, if I'm wrong, I put this out here the last couple of years. I said, this is what I think based on my research. If I'm wrong and you have a show that started before mine and it's still running, let me know and I'll give you full credit. And nobody said it yet, but, and there's shows that are like, right, a couple months after mine that are still going, but as far as I know, I've got the longest running show. But then, if you add them all together, the Paranormal Podcast, Jim Harold's Campfire, the Paranormal Report, which has been on and off for the last 12 years, which is back on. Now I do that every week with my wife. That's paranormal stories. That's kind of new again. Jim Harold's Crime Scene. If you add all my episodes together, all the Plus Club exclusive shows we do, I believe it's over 3,000 episodes. Oh, wow. So it's been a lot, but it's my full-time job for the last 12 years. So that gives you a lot more time to do podcasts.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
I have to ask, what was that like? I mean, seriously, when you could go, what was the job before you became full-time, you know, in paranormal?
I had worked in radio for a number of years on the advertising side. I was a frustrated broadcaster. I had gone to school for broadcasting, woke up in 2005 and figured out, well, I've got a wife, two kids, and a mortgage. I'm not going to be able to go to Paducah and start all over again and become a reporter. So I heard about this thing called podcasting, and I thought, well, that sounds cool. I'd like to do that, but what am I going to do it on? And the thing that I've always loved has been the paranormal, you know, all of it. And going back to Leonard Nimoy and In Search Of, and I'm like, that'd be fun, and I could do this 6 months, and I'll have all these mysteries figured out. didn't work out that way.
No. Yeah, as soon as you think you have something figured out,
no.
Yeah. Yes.
More questions pop up.
Is that the truth?
Yep. Well, the thing is, I'll give you an example. We were talking about the UFO stuff before. I used to think UFOs, you know, certainly some of them are military aircraft, no question. Some of them are people who are just mistaken. Some of them, unfortunately, are hoaxes. And then there's that other category we talked about where there seems to be something to it. But I thought, oh, that category is that's ET for sure. And then part of the explanation might be that as well. But if you look at things like transmedium UFOs or UAPs, now that's the fancy word for it, acronym, they go from the sky into the ocean. Well, where are they going? Do they have bases underneath the ocean? Mm-hmm. Crypto-terrestrials, do they come from down below? Are they interdimensional and they can pop in and out of our dimensions? That's why these craft or whatever they are, they seem to pop in and they fade out. Last summer when David Grush did his testimony to the Congress, he was talking, he didn't talk in terms of extraterrestrials, he talked in terms of non-human intelligences. Mm-hmm. Some people even believe that there are, according to Luis Elizondo in his recent book, Imminent, there are substantial parts of the government who believe that they're demons. Mm-hmm. So is it ET or is it something else? I don't know. There is something, I believe. I think there is a non-human intelligence. But going with what we were saying, when I began, I thought I had all figured out. It's like, oh, those other category, that's definitely ET. Now I'm not so sure. You know, Bigfoot is an animal. Yeah, I would say if there is a Bigfoot and he is an undiscovered animal, but people have said maybe he's interdimensional. I don't necessarily believe that, but it's a possibility. Why is he so elusive?
Yeah.
Ghosts, you know. Ghosts are dead people. That was what I jumped to the conclusion of. And maybe some of them still are, but then you have residual hauntings that seem to be some kind of energetic replay. You have things like time slips where people see people in old time clothing, you know, and then the quote ghost sees them and seems as startled by them.
Yeah.
And it's going both ways. So is it always dead people? Yeah. So really, I think the take home is that quote that we talked about before, the universe being stranger than we can understand. And the other thing, I believe more so than ever in paranormal activity, I am less convinced of what it represents.
Yeah. You have something on that?
I just think that it's interesting that now that stuff is so, because before you just had to look at the fringes for that kind of information and talk, but now it's like in the news every day. So I keep thinking, who knows what's gonna come out of this?
Well, something's definitely going on with UFOs, because about, gosh, it must have been about 10 years ago, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. I'm from the Cleveland, Ohio area. And don't worry about it. You don't have to give me any condolences on the Browns. I'm used to it. Anyway, I'm used to it. I'm used to it now. But anyway, there was a speaker of some note who came here and spoke to a UFO organization. And he was a very good speaker, very nice guy, and I've become friendly with him over the years. And the people at the event were very, very nice. But the thing was, is that, you know, I'm 55 now. I was like around 45, then 46. And I brought down the average age of the crowd by 20 years.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, oh, my God, the whole UFO topic. And this is before 2017, before the New York Times and TikTok and all that. I thought, oh, my God, this topic is totally going to die. Nobody cares except for the older generation. And as they age out, nobody's going to take up that mantle. This subject is dead. Well, 2017 happened, and now it's very much alive.
Very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm still about, I don't know. I think I'm leaning towards there's got to be something. I don't know what it is. Yeah, you're talking about Bigfoot. Nate's our Bigfoot guy. I'm not sold on the interdimensional being. I'm more or less, it's a living, breathing animal.
That's the way I lean.
Type creature, you know, mm-hmm. that's just as much as a, you know, a moose, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Right.
But, I don't think he's coming and going in between dimensions, but any idea is just as good as the other one, I guess. You know, we don't know. So I tend to think it's an animal too,
if it exists.
Yeah.
I do. And the thing is, one of the things that kind of, you know, I got to say that Bigfoot is probably one of those things I'm probably most skeptical about. Like, it depends on the day you catch me. But there's two reasons that I don't reject it, is because, first of all, whom I say, you've got all these hunters, you've got all these forestry workers, all these people who have, you know, spent their lives in the wilderness and the woods and all that stuff. And I respect those kind of people. And who am I to say they haven't seen what they've seen, because they know what a black bear looks like, right? So who am I to say, you know, Mr. City Slicker here, who am I to say, well, you don't know what you're talking about? The other thing is, if you look at something like the Patterson-Gimlin film, which, you know, for a long time, I thought, eh, probably a guy in a suit. Yeah. Once you see those stabilized versions of it, it really changes the way you think about it. It looks like muscle tone. It does not look, you know, they didn't have a costume like that in 1967.
No.
So it's like, maybe that is the real deal. You know, it's kind of a meme. It's kind of a joke. They even referenced it in the movie Elf, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice little Easter egg there. But the point being that, I don't know. There might be very well something to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And talking about the ghost, I'm really intrigued by the intelligent, you know, like the ghost sighting where they interact with you, and mm-hmm. you know, like you were talking about the residual, the intelligent stories, those are the ones that get me like, something's there.
Yeah.
I'm a ghost guy. Ghost and demons, they intrigue me more than any of the other supernatural or paranormal stories, but who knows?
Yeah,
that's the fun.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing. It's like, you know, I'm getting to that age where I'm like, am I ever gonna get this figured out? And I'm probably not. And maybe some things are not meant for us to know, but it's really interesting. And I mean, you've got to be, if you can sit at a desk and do these shows for 19 years, in your case, as you guys are doing 4 years, you dedicate this much time and effort to something. It must mean something to you, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. 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 What do you say, Sean? We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
That's his phrase, but it's true. It's like it really is. We don't know what we're, you
And
know.
for the record, I explain everything I can't explain through interdimensional beings. So I'm an interdimensional being guy.
Well, we're gonna cut his mic off.
Exactly. That's all right.
This is Pete, Jim, Nate, and I. No.
Just kidding. Well, we are getting close to the end. But Jim, do you have another story real quick to end it, and then we'll get you.
Let's see here. I might
how they can follow you and all that.
Yeah, let me see if I can find one here. Oh, this is a good one because this is one of my favorite ones in the book because this is one that maybe you can determine what this is. This is called The Mysterious Mrs. Raspberry. And this is our caller, Jennifer from Idaho, another Idaho caller.
Oh, okay.
It was the early 1980s and we lived in a smallish town in Idaho. In the summertime, you get up in the morning, say goodbye to your mom and be gone until dinner time. One day, my friend Connie and I decided to walk down the decommissioned railroad tracks about a mile from my house. They ran all the way down to the lake a few miles away. We packed a lunch and started walking all the way down the tracks. We were about 8 or 9 years old and ready for some adventure. It was densely forested once we got about a mile from our house. We were walking and there was a big clearing. A couple of houses were there and there was a big raspberry thicket by one of them. A lady was hanging her laundry up on the line. We stopped by to talk to her. She was lovely and sweet. She asked us if we'd like some raspberries. So we took our shirts and made little baskets. You know how you hold them out and put things in them to hold? We put the berries in our shirts and kept on toward the lake. We made it and stayed most of the day. Finally, we decided to head back home and started walking back in the same direction. We completely retraced our steps from earlier in the day. And the thing to remember here is the railroad track is one way in and one way out. There's no sidings, there's nothing. It's one way in, one way out. We walked all the way to my house and never passed that house again. There was no house. There was no clearing. There was no raspberries. There was nothing, just railroad tracks. And the railroad tracks, they only go one way. It's not like we took a wrong turn. We knew we'd met the kind lady with the berries. It was not our imagination because we had raspberry stains all over our shirts to prove it. The woman was a substantial older lady, and gals of a certain age often wore a snap-up house dress back in the day. She was wearing one of those. It would be odd to us now, but it was common back then. She was a kind lady. There wasn't anything strange about the interaction. She was friendly, the way people are to little kids. I had an opportunity about a year ago to talk to my friend who was with me that day, and she remembers the event exactly as I do, right down to the raspberry stains, and we're still both scratching our heads. Not too long afterward, I talked to my grandma, who believes in all things strange and weird. She said there had been houses in that area before the railroad tracks were built. That would have put it around the 1920s or so. Jennifer says, I've walked those railroad tracks since then thinking, well, maybe. But nothing like that has ever happened again. So where did the mysterious Mrs. Raspberry go in those few hours?
Whoa.
Or how did she get there to begin with?
Any ideas on
No clue. I mean, it obviously, I mean, first thoughts is supernatural, but then how do you explain raspberry stains and the capability of eating the raspberries if they can't find them on the way back?
Yeah. And you said
total time slip. They went back in time.
The time slip.
Yeah.
True. I never thought about that. What do you think, Sean?
I think it's definitely, that's what I was going to say, time slip for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were talking about the time stuff too, with time slips. That, you know, when people say my life flashed before my eyes or the deja vu feeling, when what you were talking about, Jim, that makes sense. That, you know, you it's like, oh, I can't quite understand why I feel like I've been here before. Well, if you think about time as not being linear, then that would explain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk about that. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just gonna say, gentlemen, the psychologist I spoke with today talked about time as a stream, and you're standing in the middle of the stream, and the stream exists behind you and exists in front of you as you're there, but you're at that point in the stream. The analogy I used was, and somebody else used this, so it's not original, is a book. You know, if you have a 300-page book and you're on page 150, you know, to you, the story is happening in a linear fashion. But all of those pages exist at the same time. If you rip off the binding and throw them loose in the room, all that time is there. It's just not linear. So maybe that's what it's like, is that we're like, or even like, a, you know, on a record, on a 33 record, all this music is there. But at this point in time, we're accessing this particular song and this particular lyric, but all the songs are still there at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like how he just, so why can't we come up with analogies like this?
I don't, I'm stealing them all.
Yeah. Right. We're going to go back and use these, and we're going to say, yeah, we just came up with them. Not Jim Harrell. No, just kidding. Yeah, Jim, I was going to say, since we've been doing this podcast and I've been listening to podcasts in general, you know, of the paranormal type, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about people going on vacation and they stop off in this little town and they go inside a diner and have food and they see other patrons and then they somehow talk about it later and somebody's like, there's no diner there, or oh, that burned down, you know, 30 years ago, or
very
that type of thing. It's just
real quick. I don't know if we have time, but
yeah, we have time.
Very, very quick. And this woman seemed as, you know, serious as a judge. She talked about in the 80s, she was up in the New England area. It was nighttime. It was cold. She had to drive to some night classes about an hour away. Her car broke down on the freeway. You know, she could have just sat there and froze or wait for somebody to come to possibly, you know, in some way do not good things. So she said, I'm not going to stand here like a sitting duck. No cell phones. It was the 80s. So the freeway ran parallel to like a little two-lane road, right? And she saw a service station, a garage with lights on. She's like, thank God I'm safe. So she remembered she wasn't dressed properly to like wade through the snow, but she waded down the hill, went down, and she went in, and there was an attendant there. It's like, oh, I'm saved. You know, my car's broke down on the highway. Can you help me out? And he's like, and looked at the clock. It was like 7:55. He's like, we're about ready to close. I can't do much, but maybe the owner can help you out. And then she said, it seemed like out of nowhere, the owner showed up. And he couldn't have been more helpful. Went up to look at the car, said, I can't fix this now, but I could tow you to someplace closer to your home. And it's like 30 minutes away or something. And he tows her all the way there and doesn't even ask about payment. And she finally mentions it. And he says some very nominal fee that would be even, you know, was even reasonable back then. And she gives him the money or whatever. And then he goes to takes her back to her home and says, just tell your parents everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be just fine for you, which is kind of an odd thing to say. But she was really struck by how nice the guy was. So anyway, you know, she had a car fixed and everything. A few days later, she's going with, I think, her mom and her sister to a shopping trip. And said, let's take a little detour. I want to go back to this service station. I want to go past. I want to show you where this guy was so nice to me. She went past it. It looked like it had been boarded up for at least 15 years.
Okay.
Wow.
And the whole thing transpired. And yeah, how do you explain the things been boarded up? That's I want something like that to happen to me. I want something
you
good.
May not come back.
Yeah, and then yeah, I know. Yeah,
picture if you will.
Yeah, that's crazy. Isn't that something? All the way to a tow truck and everything, and then
yeah,
they go back and it's been. Yeah, like nobody's been there for years. Isn't that something? Yeah, I've heard a lot of those stories, though. One that sticks out in my mind is one of those, I don't know, it was some type of restaurant in Montana or South Dakota, way out west, and the people, it was a husband and wife, and they were on vacation, and yeah, it was full. I mean, all kinds of people in the restaurant, and they looked on the wall, they had paintings, and there was a painting that stuck out to them because it looked like them. And they were like, is that us in the painting?
Are you talking about a story called the Roadhouse Saloon? Yeah. By chance?
Is that something? Is that what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I think it might be. It was like, on a podcast I heard of called Jim Harrell's Campfire.
Oh, is that where I've heard? is that the story?
That's my favorite. Although it wasn't the Southwest. It was a couple.
Or was it East Coast?
It was Midwest. It was up in Wisconsin.
Okay. I'm
trying. And this man and woman went to see a band, and they were coming back home. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Everything was closed. They found a bar, and basically, they went in, Because she had to go to the restroom, you know, and they didn't think they could find any place. She just said, drive fast. They found it. She went to the restroom, came out. They were sitting there, and a lot of weird stuff happened. But the one thing that they had on the wall was a picture of an Old West mural. And it was, and all the people who were like customers were in the painting.
Yes.
Which was really weird. And then they keep looking at it. It has these double doors. And all of a sudden, what do they see? They see their cells developing in. Yep. They leave. And the minute they close the door, the whole place is like black, like it'd never been open, totally dark. All the cars are gone from the parking lot. And they go back. And then basically she went back a couple nights later just to check it out, like at 8 o'clock at night, I think with her sister. And, you know, they had had a Wurlitzer jukebox, like the old bubbler ones with actual records in it. There was a guy playing Chubby Checker's Let's Twist Again. They went to the jukebox. It was a CD jukebox and Chubby Checker wasn't on it. And then the woman goes up to the bartender and it's a young woman. She says, hey, I was here the other night. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. So we closed at midnight that night. And she said, well, there was this young, good-looking bartender. And she said, lady, I'm sorry, but the only person who tends bar here is me and my elderly father. And then she left. Now, the interesting thing is that she went back years later, I think. She finally did go back. A couple interesting things happened. Chad Lewis, the excellent crypto zoology researcher and author, went up there and took pictures. The place is real. It's a real restaurant. It has the real painting. And I was inspired and went up and met with TI up in Michigan pre-pandemic in 2019. And we did that story on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jim Harold. And I haven't had a lot of success on video, but that's probably my most successful video with 20,000 views. But she tells that story, so folks can check that out from beginning to end. And it has pictures of the actual mural. And I know the place was open pre-pandemic because I called and was trying to get to talk to somebody. I was going to drive up there and try to do an interview, but nobody ever got back to me. And I don't know what the status of it is now, but it was a real restaurant and it was open and they really had a mural. And I met T.I. in person up in, because she lives in Michigan, and drove up there and did that video package. She comes from a respected profession. I think she's retired now. Very believable lady.
Did you see how I set that story up?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent segue.
I meant to do that. That is, isn't that great, though, that they could see themselves starting to...
develop in the thing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
very Twilight Zone-y.
Yes, awesome story. Well, Jim, thank you so much. Please tell our creepies, our listeners, how they can follow your podcast and if you have a website and all the things you've got going on.
Sure. Well, I always recommend Jim Harold's Campfire as kind of the gateway to my podcast. I think it's the most accessible and the one that most people will enjoy. That's free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Also, the Paranormal Podcast, which is my long-running interview show where I talk to authors and experts. We just did a show on demons, In Search of Demons. That one's available in all the same places. Of course, there's also jimharold.com. And you can check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Jim Harold. And guys, always fun to be with you. Thank you so much. Happy Halloween to you and your great audience. And really just a real privilege to be with you. A lot of fun.
Oh, thank you, Jim. We had a great time. And you brought some great stories. So we appreciate that.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally appreciate it.
Well, mm-hmm. We'll have you on again in the future if you're willing to come on. We always we love having you on as a guest, so we really appreciate it.
It's a treat for us.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's our pleasure.
Absolutely, I'd love to. And happy Halloween and stay spooky.
Stay spooky. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
And creepies, that was the great Jim Harold. Thank you, sir, for coming on our show.
Fantastic.
Sean looks like
I. So the biggest thing, and I told you guys,
is this mic on?
As soon as we got off the phone with him or Zoom call with him, I even said, I'm like, I tried so hard not to fanboy all over.
I know, I'm with you.
I thought that was so cool. It was. Truly, it was a treat for us.
Yeah,
he's mm-hmm. great. There's no trick, only treat.
How? 19 years, can mm-hmm. you imagine doing yeah. podcasting? Let's see, we have, what, almost 15 and a half years to go?
We just need, he just needs to...
Or,
anoint us
14 and a half
with that ability to make this our job.
Like, well, and it took him a little bit of time.
As we said, he's been I bet 12 years then, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I bet if you asked him when he started, he would probably say, nope, there's no chance of me doing this for a job and income.
So you're saying there's a chance?
One in a trillion. So, I'm saying that means there's a chance. So,
man.
Hey, that's all right, though. But, yeah, having Jim Harold on there on the show is always a great thing. He does awesome. And what was funny is, we thought we were listening to his show because when he's reading the stories, it's like, are we listening to Jim's campfire? So thank you, sir. Thank you, Jim, for coming on our show, and we will have him on again. Coming off of that, I'm thinking this one's going to be a tough one. Okay, it's a guest chat. Jim Harold, some creepy stories that he shared from his book. I'm going to say middle-aged moment.
Nope. Middle-aged dark side. Oh, it's Halloween, baby. I got to go dark.
I knew it. But I thought, I out-psyched myself.
Well, and I told you guys you'd never guess what it is. And maybe you guys are familiar with this. I was not. And when I heard this, I was just looking through catalogs of creepy things and scary like lyrics and songs and all this stuff. So I dug deep for this one. This is an English cover of Hide and Seek by Liz Robinette. I think I'm saying her name right. It was released on YouTube on October 20th, 2014, and on streaming services in 2020. It is about a one-man hide and seek, also known as one-man tag, which is believed to be a ritual to contact the dead using a doll. It is called Hide and Seek. So these lyrics, super creepy, super dark. Ding dong, I know you, and this is a song, by the way, this isn't just a story. Ding dong, I know you can hear me. Open the door, I only want to play a little. Ding dong, you can't keep me waiting. It's already too late for you to try and run away. I see you through the window, our eyes are locked together. I can sense your horror, though I'd like to see it closer. Ding dong, here I come to find you. Hurry up and run, let's play a little game and have some fun. Ding dong, where is it you've gone to? Do you think you've won? Our game of hide and seek has just begun. I hear your footsteps thumping loudly through the hallways. I can hear your sharp breaths. You're not very good at hiding. Just wait, you can't hide from me. I'm coming. Just wait, you can't hide from me. I'm coming. And that goes on and on. It says, knock, knock, I'm at your door now. I'm coming in. No need for me to ask permission. Knock, knock, I'm inside your room now. Where is it you've hid? Our game of hide and seek's about to end. I'm coming closer, looking underneath your bed. But you're not here. I wonder, could you be inside the closet? Ding dong, I found you. Ding dong, you were hiding here. Now you're it. Ding dong, finally found you, dear. Now you're it. Ding dong, looks like I have won. Now you're it. Ding dong, pay the consequences. And it says, ding dong, looks I have won. Now you're it. Ding dong, pay the consequence. Super spooky. I had speakeasy on my mind, apparently. But it is, if you have any interest, this is what the cover looks like. Oh, so very like, just, creepy, creepypasta type feel to it. I didn't realize it was that far back, so that was really interesting. But it's just this, it's very unnerving, obviously the lyrics are, and then when you listen to it as a song, it's like, I'm going to keep my door locked. It reminded me and made me think of Black Eyed Kids.
Yeah.
But those normally have to be let in or invited in. This just seemed to be like, hey.
They're like, that's why they're like vampires.
I'm coming in, baby. It's a dead spirit or something, so.
Why were you calling Nate and I ding dongs though?
Right, ding dong. Well, you guys kept like. Huh?
I like ding dongs.
I know ho hos and ding dongs, man. That's what I need with the tinfoil wrap.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
those are the best, man. That's old school. Well, good job. I like that. That was definitely spooky. Jim would be proud of that.
I thought that was a good Halloween. Yeah, with all those spooky stories, I'm like, this is a good way to wrap that up.
I should have said middle-aged dark side, but I thought you, that's
wait,
too easy.
Do you want to go back and edit it?
Yeah, can we edit that, Nate, and just redo everything? Oh, well, shoot. No, that was great. That was awesome. Thank you, sir, for that.
No problem.
Moving on, shout-outs. Nate, any shout-outs this week, sir?
Shout-out to everyone to have a wonderful Halloween.
Nice. I like it. Mm-hmm. Sean?
I want to shout out, because we were talking about this the other day. I want to shout out to my family because I probably don't do that enough. Especially my mom, who did. I was telling you, she did hear the Applewood from this last Saturday when you called her Miss Jackie, if you're nasty.
That's right.
She thought that was hilarious, by the way. So, but anyway, just in general, my family. This is a special one. You know, my kids, Jenna. You know, our parents and all that kind of stuff. But my cousin Robin, she still listens to the show. My aunt still listens to the show, Annie Lane. And
are they
in
the
her
ones
90s.
In Kansas City?
No. Though, but they listen too.
Sure, they do. No.
So that's right. I believe so, allegedly. And but no, Robin lives in Indianapolis, and then Annie Lane does too. Just you know, the outskirts of it. But yeah, and Robin has been coming to Harrison's football games too. Some her and her husband John. So love them very much. I just appreciate their support, and you know, just and still listening to the show is really cool too. So
nice.
But yeah.
Good shout-outs. I've got two. I'm going to shout out the Creepies for helping us get to the fourth Halloween special. How about that?
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Creepies, for that. Still listening to us. We appreciate it. And also, I want to shout out Scott and Corey Steenbergen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that, Scott and Corey? I said your last name correctly.
Correctly.
Yay. So this whole time, we've been saying Steenbergen instead of Steenbergen. But anyway, Scott and Corey let me hang out at their Greenwood Happy Haunts last Saturday during their craft fair, and it was awesome. Met a few people, and everybody was so nice, and beautiful day, and passed out some business cards, and got some interest in the podcast, so it was awesome. So thank you, Scott and Corey, for letting me hang out at the inside the store.
Sorry, I missed.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I had to work.
You're not sorry.
That's all right. You know.
Just kidding. Maybe a little bit.
Some of us take it, you know, it's important to us to see Scott and Corey, and I'm just kidding. No, I know. Nate had to work, and you had truck problems. So
this is true. Excuses galore, right?
That's what Scott and Corey said.
Excuses be gone.
Particularly Corey. She said, "Oh, they're just full of excuses." I said,
"Full of it."
I know. You see who's here? And no. So yeah, there's my shout outs. We have another sponsor. Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. So thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts, for your sponsorship as well.
They're awesome.
They are awesome.
No matter what Nate says.
Yeah.
I say a lot.
Don't listen to Nate. Don't do it.
Oh, man. Anyway, yes, thank you for your sponsorship. We do appreciate that. Sean?
Yes?
Looks like you have second announcement, sir.
I do. Follow us on our social media accounts. That's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We do sell, still, right, all kinds of merch, so go get you some. And please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
Nice. That's your week this week, right?
This is true.
Okay. Excellent. Because I barely got mine in this Friday. Although I did it at a pretty decent time. It was evening time. I like the Friday Fright evening. I like to post them on
just before, right?
Sean usually has his ready, like, the night before.
I've got 52 of them on here now.
Yeah, I know you do. Oh, that's probably not true. He's got 57. No, that's good. I'm glad you have yours ready to go. Anyway, well, thank you for that. Oh, my goodness sakes. This is kind of sad, but I'm going to have to turn it over to Nate. Nate, what do you have for us, sir?
Ding dong. That's a wrap.
Aw.
Ding dong, the episode's dead.
You're saying that's a wrap on our Halloween special. That's kind of sad.
Yeah. All good things come to an end.
You know what?
And this episode.
Well, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 189 and our fourth annual Halloween special with special guest, the podfather of paranormal podcasting, Mr. Jim Harold. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy. Happy Halloween.